Imagine you're a landlord and suddenly all these new regulations hit you. Like everything from smoke detectors to hurricane damage claims. It's kind of overwhelming, right?
It can definitely feel that way.
Today, we're going to do a deep dive into a meeting that was specifically for landlords who are working with the Housing Choice Voucher Program.
Right.
And we're going to try to break down the key takeaways so you can kind of wrap your head around all the complexities of this program.
Yeah, and even just decide if it's even worth participating in anymore. There's so many changes happening.
Exactly. So basically, we're analyzing a transcript of this landlord office hours meeting.
Right. It was hosted by Terrell Bates, who's the CEO of the Housing Authority. So think of this as like getting a direct line into the program, you know? We're getting the inside scoop on the incentives, the challenges, and what's changing in the future.
Yeah, and you know, whether you're a landlord who's been doing this for years or you're just kind of thinking about joining the program, this information could be really crucial. It's all about knowing what you can and can't do and how to make the program actually work for you and your tenants.
Right.
So let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
The first big topic that kind of came up was this moving to work designation. What is
What?
that all about?
So the Housing Authority is moving to this moving to work designation, or they call it MTW. And it basically gives them more flexibility to change the rules and regulations. You know, they say the goal is to get more landlords to sign up and help tenants do well, but will it actually work? That's the question.
And I mean, they are offering some pretty interesting incentives, right? Like a whole month's rent just for signing up.
Yeah, so if you're a first-time landlord or you haven't been in the program for at least 5 years, you get 1 month's rent when you sign what they call a housing assistance payment contract, a HAP contract. And it gets even better. This incentive, it applies to every single unit that you enroll. So if you have multiple units, you're talking about a lot of money up front.
That sounds pretty generous. But
Yeah.
I mean, is that really enough to cover the costs of like upgrading your properties and dealing with potential damage? You know, every coin has two sides.
Right, of course. Well, there are a couple more incentives they mentioned too. So there's this thing called a vacancy loss payment, which means if a voucher holder decides to move out, you can get up to 1 month's rent while you're looking for a new tenant. And then there's the damage claim payment, where you could get up to 2 months' rent minus the security deposit for any damage that the tenant caused.
So it sounds like they're trying to kind of soften the blow of some of these potential financial risks.
Yeah.
But what about these damage claims? Like, what kind of proof do you actually need?
Documentation is super important. Yeah, you need invoices, photos, anything that really shows how bad the damage is. It protects you and it protects the housing authority.
Makes sense. But even with these incentives, there are other things that could still affect a landlord's profits, right? Like rising operating costs and these new NSPIRE inspection standards we keep hearing about.
That's a big one. You're right. The MTW program seems like it has some good things going for it, but will it really be enough to offset all the potential costs? That's what we need to figure out.
Yeah, it's a tough call. Speaking of cost, let's talk about rent increases. How does the MTW program affect those, especially with all the changes coming in 2025?
Well, landlords still have to request any rent increases 60 days in advance, and they have to give their tenants written notice. But here's the thing, the housing authority, they're moving away from those random increases they used to do. And now they're going to be basing them on like the average market rents based on their own studies. So no more just picking numbers out of thin air.
So more data-driven rent increases. That sounds like it could be a good thing. More predictable, maybe a bit fairer for everyone involved. But what kind of numbers are we talking about here?
From what they've said, you can probably expect increases in that 2% to 5% range. And don't forget about that 40% rule. You know, the rule about rent reasonableness, that still applies. What that means is the rent, and that includes utilities, it can't be more than 40% of the tenant's income. They have a chart on their website that shows the payment standards broken down by bedroom size and zip code.
So just to be super clear for our listeners, if a tenant's income is $2,000 a month, the total rent, including utilities, can't be more than $800. Is that right?
Exactly. It's there to make sure the housing actually stays affordable.
That makes sense. But what if a landlord has a good reason to go above those limits? Are there any exceptions to that rule?
There are a few exceptions. Like if you need to increase the rent for a veteran or a tenant with a disability who needs specific things in their unit, but you always need documentation to back it up, you know, prove why you need that exception.
It sounds like documentation is key for a lot of things in this program. But let's move on to something that seems to be making a lot of landlords nervous those NSP air inspections. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with those?
Okay, so NSPIRE. It stands for National Standards for the Physical Inspection of Real Estate. And it's basically replacing those old housing quality standards inspections, you know, the HQS.
Right.
This is going to happen sometime in 2025.
Okay.
Think of it like HQS, but way stricter. They're raising the bar on everything.
Stricter how? Give me an example. What kind of changes are we talking about?
Well, one of the big ones is all about safety features. Like, instead of just having those battery-operated smoke detectors, they're now requiring hardwired ones in every single bedroom.
Oh, wow.
And carbon monoxide detectors, those are becoming mandatory, too. And those are just a couple of things. The whole thing is way more intense than HQS.
So that's a lot for landlords to handle, especially those with older properties. Are there any resources out there that can help them get ready for these inspections?
Yeah, HUD's doing these training webinars that focus specifically on NSPIRE.
Okay.
And there are some good YouTube videos out there, too, that break everything down step by step.
Okay.
Definitely worth checking out so you're not caught off guard.
So what you're saying is, if landlords want to stay in the voucher program, they really need to educate themselves about NSPIRE. But with all these stricter requirements, is there a downside? What are some landlords worried about?
Well, the biggest concern is just the cost of meeting all these new requirements.
Great.
Especially if you have an older property. You know, upgrades like hardwired smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, it can get really expensive really fast.
And that leads to a really important question. Will it even be financially possible for some landlords to stay in the program?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Especially for those who own those older buildings, it's something we need to really look into.
It's tough, right? It seems like those MTW incentives might offer some good stuff, but then NSPIRE comes along and throws a wrench in the works.
Exactly. It's this constant push and pull. Landlords are trying to figure out if it's even worth it anymore.
And then on top of all that, we had Hurricane Ian this year.
Right.
What did they say in the meeting about how the housing authority is handling all the hurricane damage?
Well, they were really emphasizing transparency, you know?
Okay.
Like, landlords are obligated to report any damage from the hurricane.
Right.
And they can't accept those HAP payments if the unit doesn't meet the housing quality standards. Basically, you can't just sweep things under the rug and pretend it's fine.
No hiding damage allowed.
Right.
So the housing authority needs to know about anything that makes a unit unlivable.
Absolutely. They're the ones responsible for the safety and well-being of the tenants in the program.
Right. But what happens if a landlord is dealing with insurance delays?
Yeah.
Or they can't find a contractor to do the repairs quickly? I mean, after a hurricane like that, it's not always easy to get things fixed right away.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the housing authority actually acknowledged those challenges in the meeting.
Okay.
They urged landlords to contact them directly to talk about different options. It seems like they're really trying to work with landlords to find solutions, especially when things are out of their control.
So basically just keep the lines of communication open, especially after a disaster like that. You know, something else that struck me was how much they talked about customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Terrell Bates really emphasized being responsive and helpful. It seems like they're really trying to improve the way they communicate with landlords.
Which is huge. I mean, for years, landlords have been complaining about how bureaucratic the whole process is. You know, the housing authority hasn't exactly had the best reputation when it comes to communication.
Right.
So to hear Bates actually addressing those concerns and talking about what they're doing to improve things, that's a big deal.
Yeah. He even mentioned they're setting up a new ticketing system to track inquiries and make sure nothing gets lost in the shuffle. What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, anything that makes the process smoother and more efficient is a good thing.
Yeah.
It helps everyone involved and it creates a more collaborative environment, which is so important with a program as complicated as this one.
Collaboration is key, especially when things get tense. Like, remember that discussion about the tenant who didn't show up for the reinspection?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a perfect example of how frustrating things can get on both sides.
The landlord was understandably upset because he had done the repairs, but the tenant wasn't available, so it held up the whole process.
Right, and it delayed his rent increase, too.
Yeah, and from the housing authority's perspective, they have to follow the rules.
Of course.
They can't just authorize payments for a unit that hasn't been inspected, even if the landlord did everything right. They're accountable to HUD, and they have to stick to the guidelines.
It's a tough situation, a real catch-22. I think it shows how much we need more flexibility and creative problem-solving in this program.
Absolutely. Maybe there could be a way to speed up those reinspections when it's clear the landlord has done the work.
Yeah.
Or some system to document those situations so the landlord doesn't get penalized unfairly.
Those are some really good ideas. It all comes back to communication and finding ways to work together. Both sides need to be willing to listen, understand each other's perspective, and be open about what's going on.
And we can't forget that this program is about people's lives.
That's right.
It's not just about rules and regulations, it's about people's homes.
Absolutely. It's easy to get lost in the details, but at the end of the day, this program is about making sure people have a decent place to live.
Yeah.
You know, people who might not be able to afford it otherwise.
And for a lot of landlords, it's not just about the money.
No.
They want to provide good housing and they want to make this program work,
Right.
but they have their own limitations and pressures too.
Yeah. It's a complicated system.
It is.
And the challenge is finding that balance, you know, where everyone's needs are being met.
And that's where seeing the bigger picture comes in. Realizing that we all have a role to play in making sure everyone has access to decent housing.
I love that. Seeing in the bigger picture, it's about more than just the transaction, you know? It's about understanding the real human impact of all these policies and decisions.
And that's what really hit home for me in this meeting.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about affordable housing all the time, but hearing from real landlords who are struggling with the costs and from tenants who are dealing with damage from the hurricane, it just makes it real.
You're right. Those real life stories are so powerful.
Yeah.
They remind us that these policies, they affect real people. We can't forget that.
Empathy is so important. So where do we go from here? What can our listeners do with all this information?
Well, if you're a landlord who's already in the program or you're thinking about joining, the most important thing is to stay informed.
Right.
Things are changing all the time, like we've seen with MTW and NSPIRE.
Yeah.
Those HUD webinars and the YouTube videos, those are great places to start.
So knowledge is power.
Absolutely, especially with everything changing so fast.
Yeah. But what about those of us who aren't landlords, but we still care about affordable housing in our community? What can we do?
There's still a lot you can do. You can support policies that help create more affordable housing. You can volunteer with organizations that are working on this issue.
Okay.
And just staying informed about what's happening in your own community, that's huge.
So it's a team effort. We all have to play a part, even if we're not directly involved in the program.
Exactly. It takes a whole community to make sure everyone has a place they can afford to live. And that leads us to our final thought for our listeners, something to really think about based on everything we've talked about today.
All right, I'm ready. Hit me with that question. What's the big one we should all be pondering?
Well, with all the challenges we've talked about, the potential costs of NSPIRE, and this whole balancing act of making it worthwhile for landlords while keeping housing affordable, the big question is, what are some innovative solutions that could make this voucher program more sustainable in the long run? It's a question that needs some serious brainstorming, you know?
Yeah, we need to think outside the box and come up with new ways to make sure safe and affordable housing isn't just this pipe dream, but an actual reality for people. You know, something that really gave me hope during the meeting was hearing from that potential investor, the one who was interested in buying properties from landlords who might not be able to deal with those NSPIRE upgrades.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
It just shows you that when people are open to having these conversations and exploring different approaches, creative solutions can actually emerge.
Right. It proves that there's room for innovation and collaboration,
Yeah.
even in a system as complex and often frustrating as the voucher program.
Exactly. And it highlights how important it is to have all these different voices at the table. Landlords, tenants, policymakers, investors, community organizations, everyone needs to be a part of shaping the future of affordable housing.
And these aren't just abstract ideas. This has a
Yeah.
real impact on people's lives. We can't forget that.
Absolutely right. And that's why we do these deep dives, to shed light on these issues, get people talking, and hopefully inspire some action.
Well said. So, as we wrap up our look at the Housing Choice Voucher Program, I want to leave our listeners with this. It's easy to get caught up in the details, but don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Affordable housing, it's a basic human right, and that's something worth fighting for, something worth innovating for, and something worth working together to achieve.
I couldn't agree more. Remember, knowledge is power, so stay informed, stay engaged, and let's all work together to create a future where everyone has a safe and affordable place to call home.
And that's a wrap on this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.